Not everyone has been given equal opportunities, but everyone is equally responsible for what they have. Not everybody's given equal opportunities. We don't all have the same gifts.
This is Straight Talk.
Thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick. I'm here with Pastor Mark Job of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Pastor Mark, there's a lot of our friends who love listening to the radio, but they're traveling, they're going out of town, and they feel like, I'm going to miss out on Straight Talk. Do you have a solution?
I have a great solution, Joshua. You know, some people tell me, hey, Pastor Mark, I love to listen to Straight Talk, but I go to bed early because I have to get up at 5 in the morning, and our program's on at 10 o'clock here on Moody Radio. However, I want to give you another option. We knew that that was a problem, so we created a special app. Yeah, you got it, an app called Straight Talk that you can download and listen at any time to hundreds of messages that are practical, that help change your life. Let me highlight one of those. For example, a series called Emotional Intelligence. This is a great series, Joshua, because
yeah, it is.
A lot of people, so we have messages like, here we go, Taming Anger. Wow, not that any of our listeners listen.
Don't download the app so you could share this with your spouse.
No, this is one you need to listen to. Or Overcoming Fear, that's a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
Or how about Dealing with Disappointment? All of us can relate to that.
Yeah.
Or Unmasking Shame. Emotional Intelligence, you can find these messages right on our app. And if you're traveling to Hawaii this summer, man, I hope you have a good time. Put your suntan lotion on. But you could be listening to these messages laying on the beach in Hawaii.
Yes, relaxing your body and edifying your spirit.
There you go.
To download the app for free, find the link at our website, Pastor Mark Job, J-O-B-E, PastorMarkJob.com. We would love to be with you this summer wherever you go.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Tonight we are in the second half of Pastor Mark's message called Maximum Living. It's from our series called Red Hot Faith. Our text will be found in the book of Matthew chapter 25. We'll be in verses 14 through 30. Let's get right into the Word. Here's Pastor Mark on this edition of Straight Talk.
Matthew chapter 25 tells us, I call it maximum living. And so I'm going to give you a couple of important points on how to maximize your living for God as you pursue the vision and the purposes He has for you. Number one, write this down. Not everyone has been given equal opportunities, but everyone is equally responsible for what they have. Not everybody's given equal opportunities. We don't all have the same gifts. We don't all have the same talents. We haven't all been given the same educational opportunities. We haven't all been given the same open doors or closed doors. People come at different phases, at different places. So you may have a lot more opportunities than someone else has. But let me tell you what you're not responsible. You're not responsible for what you don't have. You are responsible for what you do have. In this parable, the master gives one person 5 bags of gold, another person 2 bags of gold, and a third person 1 bag of gold. In other words, he gives them different opportunities, different abilities, different resources. The person with 2 bags of gold is not responsible for 5, only 2. The person with 1 bag of gold is only responsible for 1 bag of gold, not 2 bags of gold. I run into people that spend too much time concerned about what they don't have and not enough time concerned about what they do have and what they're doing with what they have. I run into people that say, well, Pastor, I can't really talk very well. I can't sing. I don't play an instrument. My family was kind of messed up. And you excuse yourself out of God using you. You make it sound like you have nothing to give. You're telling me all the things you don't have. And I want to tell you that God doesn't hold you responsible for what you don't have. But I don't want to hear what you don't have. I want to hear what you have. Oh, I don't have a lot. Well, dig a little deeper, because I believe you have something. I believe every person is made in the image of God. I believe that you have dignity, and I believe that you have a skill, and you have a gift, and you have a calling, and there's something about you that's unique that can contribute to others. I know that, but I want you to know that as well, and I want you to look at what you have, and I want you to sanctify it to God and say, God, this is what I have to offer you, and what I have, I give it to you. It may be not as much as that person has. It may be more than what that person has, less than what that person has, but what I have, I give to you. I am responsible for what you give to me, not for what you don't give to me. And there are some of you here that really, really need to understand that and really, really need to know that the master gave to each of them different resources. You're only held responsible for what God gives you, not for what he doesn't give you. So look at what you have first. Number two, every season of grace leads to an unavoidable moment of accountability. The Bible says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Let me talk to you about periods of grace. There are periods of grace in which you will not be held accountable yet. But at the end of every period of grace is accountability. Some of you are in school, and maybe it's your freshman year of college. And you've discovered at your big college that they don't take attendance in class. Yee-haw! Now, your parents haven't figured this out there. They think you're in class every day. But you've discovered my school doesn't even take attendance. So I don't even have to show up in class. I can live in a dorm, stay up all night, sleep during the day, party at the frats, and ask someone that attends the class or get online to figure out what my homework is due, and I don't really have to go to class. And you think that the people that are going to class and doing their homework, they're a bunch of chumps that haven't figured out the system yet, because you're living in a period of grace right now. And so you're staying up late, having a good time, laughing while some people are in the library studying, and you're thinking, you are so dumb. If you just discovered what I'm doing, man, you'd be having a lot of fun, because during the period of grace, it seems like no matter what you do, there's no consequences. But every period of grace comes to an end, and then there is an unavoidable accountability. For that person in college, it's finals. And now all your papers are due, and you have to do a final exam, and you realize, I don't know anything that they're talking about. And so the accountability comes in, and you have to give an account. And when you show your parents a D, you have to explain why you got a D. There's a period of accountability. You may be at a job, and it's a sales commission job. And you're thinking, hey, this guy is getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, making phone calls, visiting people, talking to account managers, really hustling. And I'm just kind of laying on the beach once in a while, emailing someone saying, hey, have you ever thought about this? And you're thinking, wow, this is great. This is nice, because you're in a period of grace. But the time will come where your sales commission has to come in, and that's accountability time comes in. Some of you are living your Christian life, and you feel like you're trying to live for God, be honest, do what's right, live right, and some people that are cheating and lying and stabbing people in the back, you feel like they're getting ahead more than you're getting ahead, and you're trying to do things right, and you say, see, it doesn't make sense. I'm trying to do things right, and they're lying, cheating, and they're doing better than I'm doing, because the season of accountability hasn't kicked in. But it will kick in, because at the end of every season of grace, there is a season of accountability. The master will show up one day. Some people are living their life and they don't understand that at the end of every life, you will stand before a judge. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment, that all of us will give account for our life. We will give account for how we've lived our lives. You see, the period of grace ends, accountability sets in. In this parable, what Jesus is explaining is that there may be a season in which you feel like what you're doing has no consequences to it. But Jesus is trying to remind them that you are responsible for what God has given you, and you will give account for what you've done with what he's given you. So the master shows up. He comes back unexpectedly. The period of grace is over. Leads me to number three. Faith-driven rather than fear-driven management of our lives is what earns rewards. So the master shows up, the period of accountability, the period of grace is over, and suddenly these three stewards have to give account for what they've done with what they've had. The master approached one servant, and the servant says, "You gave me 5 bags of gold. I've worked, invested, planted, sown seeds. It was a lot of work, but I have doubled your investment. Here you have 10 bags of gold." The master says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my happiness." He goes to the servant of 2 bags of gold. The servant of 2 bags of gold said, "I've sweated. It's been hard. I was a little bit worried, but I knew I could do this. I invested, I worked, I sowed with what you gave me. I knew I could double it. I knew I could do something with this." And so he doubles it. "Here's 4 bags of gold. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my happiness." And then he comes to the third person who had 1 bag of gold. And he comes to his boss, he comes to the master, and he says, "Hey, I have 1 bag of gold here. I was afraid. I heard that you are demanding, that you want an investment on your return, that you wanna reap where you haven't sowed. And so I was afraid to lose what you gave me, so I buried it. And I made sure I didn't lose what you gave me. Here is your bag of gold." The boss says, "You lazy, wicked servant. If you knew that I was going to expect from you, if you knew that I was going to demand from you, why didn't at least you put it in the bank and get some interest from it? You have wasted what I gave to you. You've done nothing." In essence, what the boss is saying is, "You have done nothing with what I gave to you. You haven't used it. You haven't multiplied it. You haven't invested it. You haven't taken it and maximized it. You have wasted your talents, wasted your abilities, wasted your intellects, wasted your vision, your faith. You've operated out of fear rather than faith. And so what you have, I'm taking away from you." And then Jesus says something really that seems almost counterintuitive.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk Radio message called Maximum Living, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Red Hot Faith. After today's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Matthew chapter 25 in verses 14 through 30. Pastor Mark's message, Maximum Living.
"Those that have will be given more. Those that do not have, it will be taken away." What's Jesus saying? This is not about the poor and the rich. This is about the faithful and the unfaithful. Hello, let me say that again. This is not about wealth distribution unfairly. This is about faithfulness and unfaithfulness. This is about the person that takes what they have and they use it. God says, "I'm going to look at how you use your life and your vision and your time and your talents. And if you're maximizing it, I'm going to pour more into it. But if you're not using it, I'm going to take what you have and give it to another." This leads me to my fourth point. I mean, this is pretty heavy. My fourth point is this: the key to our future is the stewardship of your present opportunities. So he looks at them and he says, "So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who had 10 bags. For whoever has been given more, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. And throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's a sign of deep regret and torment of the soul. Here's what I want you to know. This parable is all about not wasting your life. This parable is all about when you come to Jesus, you come to his lordship, you surrender to who Jesus is, and then he sends you out on his mission. And from then on, you discover in Jesus the mission, the vision, the season for your life. Now, you may not know everything about it, but you know I'm on mission with God. The purposes of my life are bigger than just a paycheck. What I'm called to do is bigger than just my career or what I've been trained to do or my job. I'm on a compelling, strong, life-giving mission with Jesus Christ that brings glory to Him. It doesn't mean I quit my job. It just means that my job doesn't define me. My call of God defines me. It means that I may be a teacher, but I'm more than a teacher. I'm a servant of the Most High God impacting people's lives. It may mean, hey, I'm a city worker, but I'm more than just a city worker. I'm a servant of the Most High God on mission with God to impact people's lives and use whatever God has given me to impact people's lives for His honor and His glory. Amen. It's the parable of the talents. Now, here's what I want you to understand. I want you to understand that you don't just come to God to have a relationship with God without being sent on a mission with God. You come to God, and as you submit all that you are to His Lordship and say, God, this is what I am, this is what I have, this is the mess in my life. He washes you. He cleanses you. He puts His Holy Spirit inside of you. And He says, now you're a son or daughter of mine. I have a purpose and a call to your life. Now rise up. And He sends us out on His mission. Some of you as believers are walking aimlessly. Some of you as believers have come to God, but your mission, your vision, your worldview has not changed. You're doing what you would, you're doing everything exactly the way you would do it, even if God were not in your life. You've added God to your life, but you haven't made God the center of your life. And I believe that you have a call, a purpose, that there's an audacious faith that God has given to everyone that has a call of God on their life. In fact, I believe that everybody here, in one way or another, is a family changer, a marriage changer, a kid changer, a neighborhood changer, a community changer, a city changer, and a world changer. I believe we've all been called to exercise an influence of the kingdom of God in our life. And when the church begins to realize it, when we rise up to begin to realize that we have the power to make a difference, then the power of the church is unleashed in the people of God who know that they have a call. Amen? I want you to ask yourself a question. What bag has God given to you? When you look at your life, what is it that you have? What's your story? What's your talent? What's your burden? What is it? Have you asked yourself this question? God, how can I... what do you want to do with what I have, God? How can I be on mission with you, Lord? Is there something in here that God is pushing you towards? You can say, well, it's scary, Pastor. What if I fail? Well, you could always bury the talent and say, no, I'm not going to risk failure. I'm going to bury it right here. That way I'm not going to fail. Well, you could bury it, but I think we know the end of that story, don't we? You want to bury it, it'll be taken away from you. What God rewards is stewards that had audacious faith with what God gave them. That they said, you gave this to me, God. I'm going to do the most with what you gave me, God. And I'm going to believe in faith, and I'm going to risk, and I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to do something with what you've given me, God. It may be a little, it may be a lot, but I will not waste my life. My life will count for the glory of God. You say, well, Pastor, I don't even know what that means for my life. Well, I don't know either what it means right now for your life, but I do know that, you know, you start with where you're planted. You know, if you're right now, if you're, you begin to consecrate with what God has given you, you begin to consecrate it to God. If you're a parent, you consecrate your children to God and say, Lord, I'm going to maximize what I'm doing with my children for your honor and your glory. If you have a marriage, you consecrate your marriage to God. If you're dating, you consecrate your dating relationship to God to walk in purity and making sure it counts for Him. If you have a talent or a gift, then you consecrate your talents and gifts to God. If you have a career and ability, you consecrate it to God and say, I'm not just going to do it just like everybody else. I'm going to do this for the glory of God. And then you let God deposit in your heart visions and dreams and burdens that He has, and God will do that progressively. And you might just find yourself being of extraordinary influence in your circle without even knowing it, because you simply consecrated whatever you had to the glory of God and let Him do the rest. Hey, I believe this, church, and I'm going to close with this. Listen, look up at me, church. I am pastoring a church where I don't have to say, oh God, we don't have talent. Oh God, we don't have this. I don't have to pray for the outside. I am pastoring a church right now that if every life here got on fire for God and started using their talents for God and submitted themselves to God and saying, I'm going to live on mission with God. I surrender to God and live on mission with God. There would be an explosive revolution that would change this part of the city and beyond in incredible, miraculous ways, because everything that we need is already here. It's already here. I don't have to pray for outside. It's here. It's right here. And I know that. So my desire, I don't want to make you comfortable. Sorry. You say, Pastor, I came. I was hoping you'd be just real nice. Hug me. Make me feel comfortable. I'll hug you. Then I'll kick you in the rear a little bit and say, come on. Out to what God has called you to do. Seriously. Because I don't want you to be comfortable. Oh, I want you to be loved. But I don't want you to be comfortable. Because I believe too much in what God has given you. I know what God can do with a life that's fully surrendered to Him. I know what God can do when you surrender and He and you get set on mission with God. I believe. I believe that when God sees us, He saw Peter and Andrew. Do you think Peter and Andrew, fishermen, were thinking, hey, let's go follow Jesus. We're going to turn the world upside down and people will be talking about us 2,000 years later. No, they were just fishermen. But when you fully surrender to God, it's hard to tell what God will do with lives that are fully surrendered to His lordship and to His glory. And so I put no limits, no caps. Oh, will it be hard? Oh, yeah, sure. Well, you get discouraged sometimes. Oh, yeah, you better believe it. But I put no limits, no caps on what God can do with a congregation like this and people like you and I if we join together and fully surrender the lordship of God and say we're on mission with God. When we're doing that together, watch out, because it's explosive what God begins to do among us. And that's what I'm believing for at New Life Community Church, New Life Midway, and this next season of God in our lives. And I hope someone's believing it with me. Okay. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me right now. I love the fact, by the way, that Paul said in Corinthians, he said, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. King James says, and the things that are not, to bring the not those things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence.
This has been the conclusion of Pastor Mark's message called Maximum Living, which is from his series called Red Hot Faith. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the next message in the series. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk Radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk Radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk Radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.